ahead and go most of this game, why give our pitching staff
a break?
Well, it wound up that day I got beat 9-0, but I pitched the whole ball game. And that's when I say to the fans, you don't fool them. I give it everything I had, and boy, they didn't boo me a bit out there.
Wonderful.
But when we got in after that ball game, Bucky got up on that stool we had in front of our lockers, and he said, I'll say one darn thing. He never did quit out there to everybody.
Yeah.
And that made me feel good. Then I went out and won 8th Street. I was having a hard time getting started, see? My control and everything. But that work was what I needed. Then I went out and won 8th Street.
Mm-hmm.
So, Bucky, I thought, was a great manager.
And Ozzie wasn't a bad one himself.
No, he wasn't.
Yeah.
A great guy, and both of them are great guys.
Yeah.
Ozzie was a good manager, too. But I thought Bucky was a real good manager. Of course, he proved himself later on in other clubs.
Am I right in thinking that knuckleballers can have real good days and real bad days? That is, the knuckleball won't always do the same thing.
No, the wind had a lot to do with it. But after a point, I got to the point I knew about what it was going to do from here and out here, and once in a while I'd go from here to right-hander,
yeah.
See?
Yeah.
But the thing is, now Joe DiMaggio thought, I got an article in the Saturday Evening Post years back, Joe DiMaggio thought I was one of the fastest guys in the league. I still had a pretty good fastball, but I threw that sinker all the time, see?
Yeah.
And when I was in the American League for a year, sometime I'd only throw 12, 14 knuckleballs the whole ball game.
Mm-hmm.
But up here they were looking for the knuckleball.
That's right.
And that made my fastball better.
Psychologically, it was.
And so that, like I say, days, and someday, when they used to warm me up, they'd put on the shin guards, the mask, the breast protector, and everything, you know. Because that thing sometimes would jump. Rick Farrell was a great knuckleball catcher, though.
He must have been.
He, you can look at his fingers today, and he done had them all. But he was relaxed hands, and he let the ball come to him. And now they talk about that great big glove.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when they first started using that the first few years, I thought it was a mistake all the way.
Yeah.
Because all you could hear was he knocked it down and picked it up.
That's right.
Well, Rick would take most of the padding out of his regular glove and then use a little sponge, see? And it was flexible like a first baseman almost. And he'd let the ball come to him, and he never had too many pass balls or anything like that, and dropping the balls, and he threw guys out. Now, I had two or three moves to first base, and I'd try to keep him close and give him a chance, and I never had problems with Jackie Robinson or anything stealing. But these guys with this high leg kick now, they're halfway down before.
At least.
I can't understand why somebody don't tell these guys. Stands a reason. When you're holding a man on base, if you stand up here and lock your leg straight like that, the first move you make, the only way you can move is to bend your knees.
That's right.
So why not have them bent to start with so you can make a kick back instead of, because before you make a move, you have to bend your knee. Well, as soon as you do that, that guy's starting.
That's right.
And then with that high leg kick that most of them did,
he's got
to start. I said, I just can't understand.
No, I don't either.
There's no, I don't care how fast the guy is.
Nope.
They can't outrun that ball if you give the guy a chance.
I think that there are going to be all kinds of stolen base records set.
Oh, why? There's bound to be.
I haven't
seen too many. Now, the left-hander from Philadelphia.
Carlton.
Yeah. Now, he's got a pretty good move for left-handers. He picks a few of them off.
Which he gets called balk on every now and then.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah. But a lot of these guys, right-handers, I can. And if they'd open up a little bit towards for. You don't have to look right at the guy. If he's there, you can. Now, if I would look over there, I can still see that TV set.
That's right.
You don't have to go like this.
But some people, I guess, don't have as good peripheral vision as others.
Yeah, but then a lot of guys, I don't see any of that head movement, like bouncing around, you know, like that. You looking this way, blah, blah, blah.
And a lot of them seem to forget that there's a runner over there sometimes. That's why the runner's already two-thirds of the way down there, practically.
Yeah, that...
if they'd been looking, they could have caught him off.
And I've always felt, give that snap and don't lift that leg high and get out there and give that guy the ball.
Yep.
And you got a chance then. But I can't understand a lot of these guys. You'd think they'd want to teach themselves.
It means to me, you're losing some of these, ball games during the year.
Some of these coaches, that's the way I used to have pepper games. I used to have guys regular distance, I'd pop that ball back, boy. If you wouldn't, they'd bark your shins, you know. But I caught a lot of line drives in through the box and stuff like that. But half these guys don't finish up. They got their back turned, or saw a guy get hit on
the
back foot. Yeah.
But who were the toughest batters for you to get out?
Well, I answer that question as fellas like Ted Williams, DiMaggio, Mano. I never pitched a Mano. And Musial and Edmonds. Great hitter. Great hitter.
Absolutely.
You got to expect them to get two or three hits off you.
Mm-hmm.
Some days they didn't get any.
Yeah.
Because they were hitting anywhere from 340 to 360. Now they're getting base hits off of everybody in the league, not only you.
Yeah.
So you try to keep them guys from beating you the ball game.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a little guy by the name of Don Hefner. I don't know, you remember him? He's an infielder.
Very ordinary infielder, but he bothered you, huh?
Oh, man. I think he got 12 hits in a row. And he'd be up there picking away. And he hit one ball that hit on second base and stayed there.
You're kidding.
That was a base hit. And finally, it come to the point, he was the second man in the lineup.
Yeah.
And I took the ball like this. I said, Don, here it is. Nobody on there. I said, you do whatever you want. I just took the ball through like that for a strike. And he was a little guy, you know, and he wasn't that strong. He reared back and hit the ball as hard as he could. It was a fly ball, easy out. He didn't say nothing at first. Next time he come up, same way. I said, here it is. And I just take it like that, and he trying to furnish his own part. He was determined that he was going to hit the ball out of the ballpark.
Yeah.
Two outs. I got him out that. But that fourth time he come to bat, he was calling me everything. Go warm up, couldn't break. And from then on, I had no trouble with him. But guys like Musial, Williams, DiMaggio, and that, I tell you, DiMaggio is the greatest all-around ball player I ever saw or ever played against. And I'm not taking a thing away from Mickey Mays or Mickey Mantle.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Willie Mays or Mickey Mantle. Or any of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
Ted Williams is the greatest hitter I ever saw.
Yeah, I think that's. Yeah.
With Musial, to me, almost on an even par.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing, I think Stan would swing at a few more bad balls than Ted would.
Yeah, Ted just didn't do it.
That ball is that far inside or outside. If he wanted to swing, all right. If not, he just walked. But you talk about a pretty swing in golf. He had it with that bat.
Yeah.
Then he'd come out the next day and hit you on the shoulder and said, boy, I was lucky as hell to get those base hits off you yesterday. I'd say, get away from here, you long drink of water. But like I say, you try to keep those guys, 7th, 8th, and 9th inning, if I got a 4-run lead, I'm going to throw that ball right down the pipe. If they hit it out of there, I'm still at it.
That's right.
I don't want to walk it.
Mm-hmm.
But that 7th, 8th, and 9th inning, I got a 1-run lead, it's a nothing ball game. They hit my pitch or I put him on, I take my chance with the next guy. That's
why
I
pitch.
That's the way I pitch for all those years.
Well, I think that's the way to pitch them.
So, they were great. And I love to get the best. I always got Feller, Ted Lyons, Charlie Ruffing, Gomez.
That's
the way I liked it.
For a challenge,
it made me do that.
Exactly, you'll do your best against
it. It just inspired me too, Feller.
Yeah.
I had those guys.
Your ratio of bases on balls was mighty low. That is, you had 3,200 innings and 700 walks.
I didn't have too many.
About one walk every 4.5 innings, or two a game. You can't.
And sometimes some of those are purposely.
Well, sure. Has to be.
But, to me, it was, like I say, I love to get those real, like Ted Lyons, he's a great competitor. Yeah. Oh, man. He and I have battled, and you know, I know of three games he and I battle each other. Our 21 minutes, our 23 yeah. minutes, our 25 minutes.
Yeah.
Nine inning ball games.
Yeah, I know.
We were playing in Washington. I'll just put this little story in. We were playing in Washington, and the score was 0-0-0-0 going up in the ninth, last half of the ninth. I'm the leadoff batter, and I think, well, I got to get on that base somehow. I got. Mm-hmm. And I got up there, and I'm down on the end of the bat, and I laid down a bunt down third base about that, and it stayed fair. I beat it out. Holy cow! He started cussing me and raising the devil, and he getting ready to pitch the next man, mm-hmm. and he's hollering at me over first, you know. And next I bunted. I go to second, and he throws the ball to right field. So I go to third, and that guy went. So he walked the next guy purposely, and the next guy hits a long fly to left center. And I tag up, and I'm going for play. You've been in the old Washington ball
park. Yeah.
You cross the plate, you had to go down the stairs, and then, mm-hmm. you know. I didn't stop. I get my glove and I heard somebody right behind me. And I'm running all I could. And he's saying, "You big so-and-so." He said, "The big strong guy." I said, "I thought you were going for the down." And I run down a step into my clubhouse.
Yeah.
And he run to the door and stopped. And just look. He said,
"God, he couldn't believe
it." Yeah. The next day he come out and we grinned at each other and he said, "Boy," he said, "yeah, really got me." He says, "I thought you were going to go for the downs and you beat out that and beat him one or another. I didn't care what he called me,
that's
you know."
Right. Oh boy.
I won the ball game. That was
sure.
He was a great competitor and a great guy.
A great guy.
Yeah, he was.
George, I talked to George Yulee 10 days ago.
Oh, is that right? Is he in Cleveland?
Yeah, he's in Cleveland, outside, Bay Village.
Yeah.
Well, in pretty good health, although he seems to have emphysema some.
Oh, uh-huh.
And, but he's still working for the Acme Aluminum Castings Company.
Oh, is that right?
He's been for many, many years. And he was telling
me
about...
He's a big, strong guy.
Yeah, some duels he had with Ted Lyons. They went one time 21 innings
there,
and Yulee finally beat him, I think, in that game too. But he mentioned pitching against Lyons and others where there'd be low run, few hit ball games.
That's right.
56 minutes, 1 hour.
Yeah,
I
had 61 minutes.
Gee.
And the thing is, I don't know how these guys could stand out there so damn much.
Right.
Ted and I pitched and we blew when that guy gets up there, boy, boom, boom, get that strike fast as you can.
Yeah, there might be
some of those
guys
these
days.
They stay too long.
Yeah. Oh, the pitchers and the batters both.
Yeah.
And everybody.
And I think the umpires are half at fault. Make those guys
absolutely.
Get up there and hit.
They
take so much time. Yeah. They walk out and they stand around and they go and get that sack that they got to run.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
All right. Now, when you were in Brooklyn, who were some of the, aside from Casey as the manager, who was always an interesting personality, who were some of the strongest persons as players and characters?
Well, the great guy was Al Lopez, of course, the catcher.
Great.
And Sam Lessie played first base at that time for us.
Mm-hmm.
Had Jersey Joe Strip. And we had Hack Wilson and Danny Taylor.
Oh.
We had gotten Wilson from
the Cubs.
And Danny Taylor and Johnny Frederick. He was
mm-hmm.
the pinch hitter role a lot of times.
Yeah. Great pinch hitter.
And Watson Clark was one left-handed pitcher, and I can see the guy. I can't get his name out of my mind. I had it just a minute ago. And Monty, can't think of the guy. Those were some of the guys. Lopez was a great guy and a great catcher, of course.
Oh,
actually, a Hall of Fame.
What were those years you were over there? 34, 5, 6, something.
Yeah, I went 33 and then stayed 34, 35, and half 36.
Yeah, let me just check. Lopez. We had Tony Cuccinello.
Cuccinello, Babe Phelps.
Yeah, and Phelps was just working his way in.
Yeah, that's right.
And old Tom Zachary was
good. Old Tom, yeah, he was a good buddy of mine.
How was...
some of our pitchers, I can't...
How was Mungo?
Oh, Van Lingle Mungo.
Yeah.
Oh, he was I tell you, he could throw as hard as anybody for six innings that I ever saw.
Mm-hmm.
And then
you had old George Earnshaw was with you.
Yeah, old George. He threw a dry spitter once in a while.
Ray
Blades.
Well,
no.
Binge.
Ray Benji, I mean. Yeah. Ray Benji.
Yeah.
And then one other right-hander.
Well, it shows... Waddy Clark. Was it Waddy?
Yeah, he was a left-hander. He was the one at Watson.
It's got the initial, J. Babbage.
Johnny Babbage came. Johnny Babbage. He was a rookie. He didn't last very long.
Yeah.
He could throw fairly hard.
And they list Frank House.
Yeah, Freddie Frank House. That's who I was trying to think of.
Yeah, Brandt. He was left-hander.
Brandt was a left-hander. He was just about through at that time.
Max Butcher.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Big Mac. From Virginia Hills.
You even had Jeffcoat. Jeffcoat, who was an outfielder with the Cubs.
Well.
They made him into a pitcher.
I helped make it.
Did you?
Made him a pitcher at the Cubs.
Right.
But that wasn't the Jeffcoat.
That's not the same one. No, this is G. Jeffcoat.
Yeah. I think that was his brother.
Related,
yeah.
All right.
He was a thinner. Jeff Coat with a cut was kind of a husky guy. Had a good arm. And
yeah, he did.
And then he...
What kind of a guy was Frenchy Bordigere?
Oh, he was a screwball.
He must have been.
Yeah.
That's what I know of his
name. Yeah, he was a screwball. Yeah, you're bringing back some memories, too.
Was it Buddy Hassett?
Yeah,
Buddy
Hassett, first base.
Lonnie Frey.
Lonnie Frey, we went up the same time.
I'll be talking. And Johnny Cooney.
Yeah, John Cooney, he was a great guy.
And left field was Watkins. I guess George.
George Watkins, yeah.
And then catching for a while was Ray Veras.
That's right, he was great. Good, a little catcher. He was a good catcher, too. He could pick guys off first base. Something like the Lombardi type. He could fire that ball out like that. Pick those guys off first base a lot.
What year did you get to Washington? 38.
Yeah.
All right. You had Pete Appleton.
Oh, yeah. Had that big overhand curve.
And was it Ken Chase?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Left-hander. Yeah. Wild left-hander.
And I didn't remember that you had Wes Farrow, but you did.
Wes came. Yeah. I could tell you a little story about what happened with him during the Detroit game. We were playing Detroit, and we had him beat 11-1. And the sun was shining like that. Then all at once, about the fourth inning, something like that, a shower came up for us. 20 minutes or so, and went there. So they had to call a game. Was sitting there. Finally, they got the tarp back off, and everything was starting to ball game. He went out to pitch. Bucky was our manager, and walk a man, and then the ball hit the plate, bounced way up, and first thing you know, finally had two or three runs in, and then he got one out, and then they got another run in. Bucky said he's bound. Then finally, after they had about four or five runs in, Bucky said he's bound to get this guy. You know, he had two outs, he got a second out. And before to get the reliever in, they had tied the score.
You're kidding.
And he had a brand new glove, and he came in and sat on the bench like this. Nobody said a word because West was getting mad at himself, you know. But he had this new glove, and he tore it in half. And he started piling up stuff like that right in front. And pieces of that big leather he couldn't tear. He just gnawed. He finally got all the stuffing, everything out of that glove piled up like that. And he said, "Wes Farrell, you dumb so-and-so," and he went like this, and wow, he hit himself in the chin, and our dugout was up, and when he did, his head went back and popped like that, and he's up.
Oh,
nobody made a move. They didn't dare to, And they wonder what, and they finally beat us that ball game, but anyway, after the game was over, he waited around, and you know, we used to have that little trunk with little boxes in it. Mm-hmm. At that time, I had a dollar. I didn't even own a watch. And he had those little boxes, you know. So I just started towards the trunk, and here comes Wes, so I'm a rookie. I just back off.
Yeah.
And he reached in and got his watch and wallet, and when he went to put his watch on, it fell down on that concrete floor. Ooh. And he just looked down at it, and he went like this. Says, "You didn't keep good time anyway." And boy, I wanted to dive down and get it. See, right. I didn't even know.
Yeah.
And he just ground that thing in that concrete. See. Wow. But he'd get mad at himself. He wouldn't get mad at him. That's why he was playing golf. He'd throw bag and all in the bay down the floor there, some pure water or something like that. You know.
It's kind of remarkable that he had as great a career as he had with that temper.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Really.
And he was a good hitter.
Oh, yeah, he was a pinch hitter frequently.
Yeah.
Luke Sua was telling me about Farrell when he was with Cleveland, blowing up like that.
Well, and talking like this, well,